This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moments of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for Your Bible and You.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 to 23.
God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness.
Yes, that's good.
And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Good.
And God said,
let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the vault of the sky.
So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said,
be fruitful, and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
Just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 to 23. Keep this in your heart.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
AWR, the Voice of Hope.
Brace yourself for our next segment. Youth Corner.
We must leave beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Welcome to your favorite youth program, Youth Corner. Today we are having a discussion on healthy youth relationships. I am your host, Russell. To have this discussion with me, I have, from my right,
Emmaline Date, teaching assistant, Valley View University.
John Louis Opata, teaching assistant, Valley View University.
Ba Ayokosi, teaching assistant, Valley View University.
Panelists, you are welcome.
Thank you very much.
We've been told that human beings are very social beings, in that we are created for each other. The Holy Bible even puts it that it is not good for the man to be alone in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. And this makes us see the desire to be in a relationship, especially for the purpose of our discussion, a healthy relationship. So, what do you think is the ideal standard of a healthy relationship? Let me start with our brother John.
For a healthy relationship, I would say that it is subjective, because before anyone enters into a relationship with the other, there should be some criteria or guidelines to define what to make that relationship healthy. That is what I would say is a healthy relationship. As long as they play along the set criteria or set benchmark that guides their relationship, I would say they are practicing a healthy relationship.
Thank you so much for your submission. Does anybody have anything to add?
Well, I would say from the Christian perspective, any relation that does not go contradictory to what the Bible says or what Christians believe in, the beliefs of Christians, and you go by that principle, by that beliefs, in a relationship, it's a healthy relationship.
I'd say that a healthy relationship is one where there is mutual respect, there is healthy love, you know, you care about the person, there's kindness, there's a desire to say one person go above you, it would be all he wants to be, and then there's encouragement between the two people, being there for each other. That's a healthy relationship.
Wonderful submission there. Can I gather from what you're saying that a healthy relationship is not secluded to a boy-girl relationship only? But let's take a typical university campus. You have someone entering the university first year. The person could join a fellowship. That is a gathering, and the person establishes relationships in there. The person could join a study group, and the person would establish a different kind of relationship in there as well. But then I gather from what you're saying that there's a standard whereby you should show love to the other person, whoever your partner is, and there should be encouragement. It should bring out the best in you at the end of the day. Is that what I gather?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
At the end of the day, the people involved in that relationship should feel comfortable in the relationship. The relationship should bring about improvement in the lives of those involved. So if that is not achieved, then there's no use of the relationship.
Exactly.
At least you join the study group just to make sure that you can learn together as a group and then improve yourself academically.
Yeah.
You join the church because you want to improve yourself spiritually.
If I may give an example, I'm the kind of person that likes to go an extra mile for a friend. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't take offense that easily. It takes two to tango, right? Now, a healthy relationship doesn't always mean that the two people are perfect people. One person could actually be imperfect, all right? And what happens is that the person who actually is strong character-wise tries to build up the other person.
Yeah.
Even if the other person has offended the person doesn't even want to continue the relationship. It doesn't mean I should go about defaming the person or speaking ill about the person. The best I can do is to withdraw and wait for the person to come to his or her senses. But it's not always the case where two of you are always agreeing. There's always a conflict. Okay,
so then there's an element of conflict.
Yes.
Which brings about tolerance and understanding.
Thank you. And accommodation too.
Yes.
I think that even makes the relationship more interesting. And it builds bonds. Whenever there's some kind of conflict and you come back together, you see that the union becomes fresh and becomes stronger.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So do you have anything more to add to these relationships other than the intimate ones that we see?
In fact, what I'd say is the example I just gave wasn't just a male-female kind of relationship. It's the kind of relationship that could also exist between the same sex. Male, male, female, female.
Okay.
So if I have a female friend or a male has a male friend, he should be able to extend the same level of appreciation, the same level of support. Okay. You should always be there even when things are not going on well. You should believe in the person, even to the extent that when the person is being accused of something wrong, but you haven't caught the person red-handed, you should not be quick to judge the person. Yes.
Yeah. Just to add to that, I would say that in a relationship, one party to the relationship, to me, should go the extra mile to keep the relationship.
Yeah.
What is called being the fool.
That is
the
relationship.
That is it.
Okay. You should go the extra mile to keep the relationship because in an instance where the other party takes offense at a situation, the other party should be willing to keep the relationship.
Compromise,
that's the word. And accommodate whatever it is to sustain the relationship.
That's what my brother just said. You see, it's very important one becomes, in quotes, the fool. But not always the time that the one person constantly become the fool. It should be balanced. Let's say every time just one party takes offense and the other will have to compromise. That's not the best. One time, even when you're at fault and you say the person is just compromising too much and you're at fault, we can even go and apologize.
You know, but you are so correct. In that instance, what I suggest is, you see, open rebuke is better than secret love. In friendship, I should be able to tell the person if the person has gone beyond his mark. If you've crossed the line, I should tell you in love, listen, I love you as a friend, but what you're doing it will not keep this relationship. It doesn't mean you are keeping malice. But sometimes people could be so funny that they could take you for granted. A healthy relationship doesn't mean you should let somebody step on you and make you the fool. No. In fact, I should teach you with my attitude. Do you understand?
You see, we are looking at the relationship profiting both parties.
Exactly.
You see? So if I see that, for instance, Ba is doing something wrong and the thing is not going to profit him.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, if he hurts himself, I would also be affected in a particular way. I should be able to open up and rebuke him.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
To add to that, I believe that once you're talking about pointing out someone's mistakes and not doing so in malice and all that, the time and the place, the setting, so that it doesn't seem like you're disgracing the person
exactly.
or something. It's so wonderful having you guys to comment on this issue. It's unfortunate our time is up. And so we are going to round up this session. Listener, join us again next week to hear the continuation of this very insightful topic, healthy youth relationships. I have been your host, Russell Menta. To have this discussion, we've had
Emily Date,
John Opata,
Ban Kusu.
Thank you, listener. Have a wonderful time.
Is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
No disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, no pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky. For all will be sunshine and gladness, with never a song nor a sigh. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for His own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold, where all is new. For decay. No crying eyes, no hearts growing strange and cold. All pain, all death, all crying fled away. We'll never pay rent for our mansion. The taxes will never come due. Our garments will never grow threadbare, but always be fadeless and new. We'll never be hungry nor thirsty, nor languish in poverty there. For all the rich bounties of heaven, God's sanctified children shall share. Where all is new and never shall grow old. For time is not, nor age, nor slow decay. No dying eyes, no hearts growing strange and cold. All pain, all death, all crying fled away. There'll never be crape on the doorknob, nor funeral train in the sky. No graves on the hillsides of glory, for there we shall nevermore die. The old will be young there forever, transformed in a moment of time. Immortal will stand in his likeness, the sun, moon, and stars to outshine. Where all is new and never shall grow old. For time is not, nor age, nor slow decay. No crying eyes, no hearts growing strange and cold. All pain, all death, all crying fled away.
The only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
On the portals, He's waiting and watching.
Welcome, my dear listener, to the Moment of Truth. I am very grateful that you have decided to listen to this broadcast. It is my sincere prayer that you would be blessed immeasurably and that every time spent would be worth it. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message. The Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Therefore, it is my heart desire that as you listen to this message, you would be set free from every entanglement. I want to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege. We ask that as I present your word, may you give us understanding. May you give me utterance that I can present the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the title of the sermon I want to share with you is Perils or Danger of Emptiness. Perils or Danger of Emptiness. And our Bible reading will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. I read, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, 'I will return into my house from whence I came out.' And when he is gone, and when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and cleaned. Then goes he and takes with him seven other spirits." more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. In this world there are two powers or authorities that are contending for the souls of men. One of these contending authorities is God Almighty. The other is the devil or Satan. Whereas God woos us with his love, the devil entices us through deception. Whereas God created us in his own image and caused us to worship him so we could obtain peace in our hearts, the devil deceitfully promises us goodies, yet steals the joy and the peace of life from us. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But Satan came that he may steal, destroy, and kill. His name is Satan, which means adversary, a devourer, an enemy. But Jesus' name means God saves, and is also called Emmanuel, God with us. You are either possessed by God or you are possessed by the devil. You cannot be filled with the two spirits. Either you are for God or you are against him. When the devil and his angels were cast down on earth, their spirits have been seeking to possess people, animals, trees, and what have you. They never operate on their own. They work through mediums. When Jesus met the demon-possessed man, the demons, who were called legions, pleaded that they might be allowed to enter the pigs. They cannot live idle. They always want to be accommodated. Jesus therefore gives a parable which is very insightful in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45, as we read. The demon was cast out. It went seeking places to dwell, and it found none. So it goes and see if the place where it originally inhabited, there is accommodation for it. And when he went and found out that this person from whom he was casted out is still empty, the Bible says that he went and brought seven demons. And these seven extra demons were more wicked than he himself. So in effect, they are now eight. And when they come and find that your heart is clean, you are empty, there is no one possessing you, the Bible says that this demon comes in and dwells with the other seven. And it is said that your latter end will be worse than the beginning. Because this time they are more powerful than he was. They will come and dwell in your heart. And the Bible testifies that how they will torment you is not comparable as he tormented you when he was one. Don't be empty. Please allow God to fill your heart. Let him be the king of your life. Let him reign supreme in your heart. And when the demons come, they will flee before an omnipotent and holy God. Idleness is the devil's workshop. He finds work or something for the idle or empty person to do. He either gives you a nice demonic movie to watch, an interesting gossip to engage in, wicked plans to devise, and what have you. Don't ever be idle. Make sure that you are possessed by God. If you are empty, the devil will find something for you to do. He will possess you and use you and destroy you automatically. Therefore, in John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus told his disciples, "The prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Let us go." Jesus saw that he and the devil has nothing in common. And when he saw the devil was approaching him, he had to leave. I am beseeching you that make sure that you give no place for the devil to occupy you. For God came that he might save you and save you from death. He might save you from destruction. The Lord loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would only believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. John 8:36, the Bible says, "And when the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." I am pleading with you that allow Jesus to save you. Give him a chance and he will make your life different. He will make you whole and you would have hope in your life. Life without Christ is a hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. I pray that you will receive this message and be blessed by it, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 30 70 51 058 or +233 20 87 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.